May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. On Friday, I had an interesting conversation with two of our parishioners who were taking a brief break from preparing for reading camp this week. They were setting up the classrooms and setting up the parish hall, getting all of the materials ready. And the conversation was around the subject of home. What is home? We briefly shared our experiences of the notions of home and how they are formulated by our own individual life experiences. Perhaps most notably from our moving, if we've moved from place to place. And as I left that brief but meaningful conversation, I remembered my mother repeating those famous words to me that we have all probably heard at one time or another. Home is where the heart is. Home is where the heart is. This season of Pentecost, we are hearing of the life and teachings of Jesus as written by Mark, the oldest of the four Gospels. We cannot know for certain whom Mark was. Some scholars believe he was a close friend of the disciple Peter, who wrote down everything spoken by this eyewitness disciple. The original language of this gospel was, of course, Greek. And we must always be careful as we translate, not to lose or change the meaning. The Gospel of Mark wants to get the whole story of Jesus out there in the public domain, almost at a breathless pace. There is frequent use of the words in this gospel, of words such as and then, immediately, as soon as. And today we heard read, a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside. They're outside and they're asking for you. And he says something rather odd. He says to the people, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. So not a question of what is home, but rather a question of what is family, as Christ understands. What is family, as Christ understands? I'm presently reading through the book of Acts again, and what is still striking to me is that against all odds, Christianity survives. That Christianity and the church grows and flourishes following Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension to heaven. As Acts opens, the Apostle Peter is addressing a congregation of perhaps a few more than here today. And I believe that this understanding of family by Christ and the early Christians played a vital role in their success. Jesus repeatedly emphasized that those who followed him and did the will of God for the kingdom were his family. And the three keys to family I believe for Christ were the following. First, to believe fully that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, who lived, died on the cross, and rose from the dead. And second, the followers of Christ, the family of Christ, if you will, steadfastly put God first in their lives. God first. And third, and perhaps most difficult, the disciples worked at being unaffected by those who persecuted and those who judged them. So I want to briefly this morning just sort of pull this apart for us to see how we can live our daily lives from this day forward as the family of Christ. Above all else, in all areas of your life, you and this community of faith are asked to live daily those words we profess. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. It is to believe and live the words that I will say to you this morning at this altar. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, and be thankful. We are as well as the family of God to put God first in our lives. To put God first in our lives in a way that is different than we might imagine. Different than putting something else first in our lives. One of the things that I say to couples that are to be married is that if they put God first and their spouse second and their children third and the rest after, all will fall into place. And people are sometimes surprised by that, that that would be the order. God, and if we don't have a spouse, then our child, obviously, and then everything else. When you put God first in your life, then all of your relationships are strengthened and guided by him. C.S. Lewis wrote once, "We could ignore, but we can never evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito." He concludes, "The real labor is to remember, to attend, in fact, to come awake." It's one of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis. But it's that third element to be the family of Christ that is perhaps the most challenging for you. If you're striving to do God's will and be that family of Christ, can you live your life of faith in Jesus unaffected by the opinion and judgment of others? This is tough for most of us, and must have been incredibly tough for those early Christians who were few in number and being persecuted. And I think it's very tough for us as well in the 21st century when the raw opinion of others, if you will, is out there in the public domain all the time. Everyone can post on Facebook, send an email, text, blog. Doesn't even have to be true. Much of it isn't true. I'm sure you're aware that Wikipedia, when you look something up, has nothing that checks to see that it's correct. Students find that out when they use it as a resource. But you would think by the title, those facts must be correct. They could have something totally wrong. We live with that kind of judgment of ourselves sometimes out there in the public domain, or judgment of our church, or judgment of our family, whatever it might be. It's very challenging. It never used to be like that. It's a wonderful new commercial that McDonald's has out, which I saw yesterday for the first time. And there's this young woman looking very healthy, eating oatmeal. And it's McDonald's promoting, you know, that they have healthy food as well. And she's eating oatmeal, but she's got all the goodies on it. I mean, not bad stuff, but, you know, fruit and maybe a little brown sugar and all of this kind of stuff on it. And an older woman comes and sits next to her and says, "Oh, back in my day, we just had good old-fashioned oatmeal." And then she goes, and she takes out her iPhone, and she goes, "Let me take a picture of that. I've got to blog this." And she shoots a photograph of it. It's a great, clever commercial. Every once in a while, you understand why these writers get paid what they get paid. This is the world we live in, and in the final analysis, you must be independent of both the opinion of others, the judgment of others, to truly live a God-directed life. When you are always distracted by what someone else is saying, you are drained. And you cannot be faithful to God and God's word. The disciples had to be like Jesus. Jesus was incredibly good at being independent of the harsh judgment of others and even persecution, death on a cross. And these disciples had to do the same. They too would face persecution and death as they sought to spread the gospel and establish the church. I have come to know that old familiar saying, "Home is where the heart is," to be often difficult to figure out. I know it's true, but finding out what is home for many of us is tough. And yet Jesus today gives us a dramatic statement of family, saying it's not limited to biological or residential confines, but rather doing God's will, doing kingdom work. That's what defines us as being a part of the Christian family. And that is for us today, the gospel challenge. So when you come forward in just a few minutes with outstretched hands, say yes to Christ's family. Amen.